to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 151 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a fantastic weekend. I had a great time this weekend at Richmond. I cannot wait to recap all that here in just a bit. But first, no wasting time today. It is time to get this week's guests on. They're going to hang out for the whole show, which is awesome, which means we're going to talk some nonsense. We're going to talk some football. We're going to talk some NASCAR. You know who they are, making their 11th appearance on the Lapped Traffic Podcast from the fine city of Atlanta. The host of the PETM Podcast, pregame and engineer Andrew Sherwood, and the tailgate mayor, Rusty Wallace. Gentlemen, what's up? Welcome back to the show.
Sherwin, you didn't tell me we signed up for the whole podcast. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Before I hit record, I had to go take a peek back and look.
I was like, oh, well, was that was there. Are we in that territory?
Yep,
I didn't. Brandon, wait, what was yours?
It has been 51 episodes since you guys have last been on the show. Last season, episode 100. So this has been long overdue this season.
Dang,
that's almost a year.
Yeah. It's been way too long. I've crashed yours a couple times down there in the PETM studio, but it's good to have you guys back on. You know how I will start this off, as I've only done 11 times, in honor of the PETM podcast. Boys, what are you drinking tonight?
Sherwin?
Well, I conveniently disguised in my Chick-fil-A cup a whiskey and White Claw.
Nice.
So, Uber ride down. You know what? I have the most common drink of our guests on our show.
And, oh, wow.
If you will, but I've got a big old glass of water here.
Wow, some quality H2O. But you guys got you guys are just getting started. You guys got a night ahead of yourself, so I know that's going to change.
We've got Sherwin's, you know, pacing himself at this level. I'm starting at zero. I have no pacing. That's a problem. You know, Sherwin, you can do that all day long.
Rusty makes drinks disappear.
Yeah. No way. Especially when I'm sitting here talking and stuff. So I knew if I got into it. We already told you, we haven't even started writing our show notes yet. And we're going to be on with you for however long it is. And then we're going to write show notes and start a show.
I love it. Rusty, I want to break fourth wall here because I can barely see some lettering on your shirt there. But I know you always have a good one on. What do you got on there?
The Sterling Marlin shirt that Sherwin got.
Nice. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, and Sherwin is wearing his Jorgensen Racing from with PETM flair on it.
Hell so. Yeah. Nice.
Pretty cool deal.
I got my new Richmond shirt on, which is it's like a throwback vintage too, which I absolutely love. So very cool.
So that, by the way.
Yes. All right, guys. I want to start this off right here. First off, again, guys, thank you so much for pulling double duty. You guys have PETM 213 tonight with Eric Quinn. He's done some sports medicine stuff with NASCAR. That's really cool. It's always fun when you get to talk with someone outside of, you know, the standard interview. And I think that's going to be, and you guys don't even consider what you guys do interviews, but that's a very unique guest that you guys are going to have on tonight. You guys have been hitting it out of the park. Adam Stern a couple weeks ago, the most hilarious comedian ever last week. So you guys have been on a roll.
Man, DJ Lewis was a riot.
Yeah, he was
at Gutter Bumpkin, y'all.
No, that was, I mean, I was in stitches the whole time, even when he didn't have much a clue about much, but man, you were laughing about the whole damn thing.
Yeah, he had it going on, man. He was he had his shtick going. I'm not even sure if it's shtick at this point. I mean,
yo.
Yeah,
yo.
Out with his brother or something like that.
He's on the front porch with
chasing
his brother
and stuff.
All right. So, I think something that you guys would both agree with me on is, since doing a podcast, that's opened up the mind a little bit to objective thinking. It's gotten us to maybe a few more racetracks. You guys have your home track of Atlanta. I got mine of MIS. I just got back from Richmond, first time ever there. So what I want to get your guys' thoughts on is, what are some of the things that when you go to a track for the first time, what are things that you're looking at to compare to go back? I'm glad Atlanta does this, or I'm glad Atlanta doesn't do this, or man, I wish Atlanta had this, or I wish they, you know, I'm glad that they don't have this.
You know, there's so much extracurricular stuff, and to be honest, me and Sherwin don't really participate anymore in much of that, mainly because, you know, we've kind of seen it so many times, been to so many racetracks and all that, so I think what I'm looking for might be a little different. I'm not looking for, like, what the concert is out front, or what the offerings are, or even whether or not they have a tram. I'll walk around. I don't care.
Sure.
But you know, the big thing for me, and I'm thinking about Phoenix, and I'm thinking about the first time we went to Bristol, and I'm thinking about Martinsville, is that first time. I'm getting goosebumps. You can see them right here. It's that first time that you walk into the stands and see that track. Darlington, good example.
Sure.
First time you see it, and you take that in, and the history hits you, and you're looking over. You remember spots where things happened. You know, Daytona, you're like, wow, that, you know, in reverence, that's where Dale Earnhardt died, right over there. But then you know, in great memories and in other things and other places you go to, just seeing the track for the first time for me is one of the big hits, or I don't know if I've had misses, but you know, just seeing the track for the first time, that's the thing that gets me pumped up and ready for the race.
Absolutely. Sherwin, what do you got?
Well, I would say in conjunction to that, obviously seeing a new venue for the first time is really cool. It's like going to any new stadium for the first time, and you're just kind of taking in what, you know, what the atmosphere is. But I think for us, a lot of times is what's experience like in the campground?
Absolutely.
And what are the people like? And you know, you can't judge every book by one cover, so you don't always have like the most awesome experience ever in the campground, but it's a really cool place to interact with NASCAR fans, and they're just a little bit different everywhere you go.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So one of the things that I absolutely loved that Richmond had is, so I'll have you guys think back to Michigan, since you both have been there with me. You know, when you are walking, I know, right? you know, when you're walking under the pedestrian tunnel, you kind of come up to that, we'll call it a paddock area, because I know that's what they call it. And, yeah. And then you go to the left to go into the garage. Well, at Richmond, the pedestrian tunnel comes out and you're in the garage. So for you to walk under that tunnel, it's one of the more tightened areas in terms of actually checking credentials to make sure you either have a hot pass, cold pass, hard card, or a ticket that allows you access to that part of the garage, which is actually kind of cool, because even if you don't have that hot pass or that cold pass, their media center and the garage area are so well designed. They've got bars back there. They've got concessions. They've got a ton of tables and all that kind of stuff set up in there. But they've got, which I'm going to kind of call it like a catwalk, that, you know, like when the cars are parked in the garage and the crews are working on them, normally it's butt up either to a wall or it's butt up to another car from the opposite side of the garage. The garage area at Richmond is one straight shot. So there's no multiple rows. It's just one long line, basically. And there's a catwalk that fans that have restricted access, not the hot or cold, can literally go walk up, stand elevated, and be right in front of their driver's car, which I think is awesome. The driver can't miss them. Like, there's just like a little chain fence there. That's it. Like, I saw one guy with a Clint Boyer, you know, quarter panel, like, trying to get it signed, and there was no way Clint was not going to see that, you know. Yeah. And that's cool. That I think is really cool, because not everybody can get that hot pass or that cold pass access. But you know, I have no idea what that ticket package costs to get there, but it's obviously nowhere near what people would spend if they were to try to get a hot or cold pass. So to get that type of access, to see the crews working on it, I saw people talking to crew guys, crews talking to the people, selfies, all that kind of stuff. So from a fan perspective, I think Richmond really knocked it out of the park with that. Now, on the flip side, if I'm a driver and I'm having a really crappy day, I'm probably not going to like that as much because it really takes away the privacy of, you know, you, your crew chief, and your crew, so to speak. But from a fan perspective, I think they knocked it out of the park with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds awesome, man. We're looking forward to getting over there.
Yeah, Richmond's definitely – it's probably in the top five somewhere.
It's so this was my first short track cup race. Darlington was probably my next closest, but that's basically over a mile. So, you know, we're not going to go down that left turn because we got enough left turns to take here. But it was my first official short track. So that seeing the short track from high above the grandstands was very cool. I will say one of the things that I was kind of bummed, and not it didn't affect me personally, but if I'm a fan sitting at the start-finish line, which is where a lot of people like to sit, is somewhere near the start-finish line, is Victory Lane and the driver intros are way off into turn one, which makes that kind of hard to see. There's not many, even if you're sitting going around into turn two, it's definitely limited as to the amount of people that can see those two aspects, which that might take away from things a little bit. But other than that, man, it was just an awesome experience, awesome first time to Richmond. I have to give a quick shout out real quick to Kristen and Mike. Kristen is one of Lindsay's best friends from elementary school. Still good friends to this day. She stood up in our wedding. Her and her boyfriend, Mike, who is an FBI agent, which is really cool. He had some fun stories to tell over the weekend. They let me crash. They opened their home. They picked me up from the airport Thursday. We went and hung out. Friday, Saturday, I was at the track. And I booked an extra day just because you guys know how it is. You guys travel to a lot of races, and it's like you hate to put all that time and effort. So I booked an extra day in case rain were to happen, because you never know when you're booking plane tickets and all that. So it worked out that everything ran as scheduled. So Sunday, they took me around to see downtown Richmond and some cool bars and restaurants. So that was just an awesome trip. So shout out to them. Shout out to Richmond for hosting the Lap Traffic Podcast as well. So definitely a great time for sure. Let's see here. What else can we do?
Just real quick, Brandon, Let's let the folks that, I mean, not everything is super visible on television to all of the folks that have never been to Richmond, but that start finish, in the Victory Lane thing you mentioned, Start finish at Richmond is one of the oddest places. It's kind of like Talladega, but opposite. It's halfway between turn four and the actual peak of the tri-oval.
Yes.
So it's way down closer to turn four. So it's just a different way of doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like you said, it's perfect analogy there. It's the exact opposite of Talladega, to where, like, you're watching those cars come off turn four at Talladega, and you just kind of get a feel like, oh, they should be at the start-finish here. And it's like, nope, it's an extra whatever, you know.
Half mile
away. Like, yeah, absolutely. All right. Before we get into today's show, guys, real quick, the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads has you covered from sports to entertainment, so go check that out. Obviously, a huge show lined up. PETM's already on the show. What's up? I want to preview here in a minute round two of the trucks, because I think that's going to be fun. We'll talk a little Xfinity and Cup from Richmond. Social media shout-outs. I got a clip. Brian Newdorf has your weather for the Roval. Lucky Dog lap down picks. And, of course, fantasy to close it out. But before we get into actual content, boys, let's have a little fun here first. So, Sherwin, you and I were texting last night. I said, I've got the perfect thing to maybe get us in the ditch here a little bit. And so we're going to get in the ditch early here. And I think you guys will appreciate the humor with this. So I'm in a little bit of a situation which might have me in the doghouse kind of at the moment. Rusty, your wife, met her a couple times. Really cool. Heard some stories. pretty laid back. You guys have met Lindsay. You guys know how her and I are. We like to give each other shit sometimes, and that's just our way. So, Sherwin, I'm sure you will have something to contribute to this as well. So I'll set the scene. I'm gone all weekend, traveling at a race, right? Staying with my wife's best friend, who my wife would love to have come but couldn't because she's still restricted and can't fly from her recovery from the neck surgery and all that. So today, Tuesday, September 24th, is my 8-year wedding anniversary. I go to work, I come home, and I'm podcasting, damn it. So now we're going out this weekend, but some wives may not be as cool. So that said, guys, what is your best doghouse story and how did you get out?
Doghouse story and how I got out. Boy, howdy. So I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure if I were to say I'm podcasting on our anniversary and we're doing something this weekend, I think I could get kind of like you're doing. Probably wouldn't be great. I could probably get out of it. I'm not sure how that would go over. I'll ask the wife and see what.
So I think you got to ask Serena that and report back on PETM 213 tonight.
That's a good question. So let's see. Doghouse story. Boy, there's one that comes to mind. This was in college. We've been dating forever. We'd been dating forever up to this point. We've been together for 20 plus years now. But it was essentially a contest to see who can imbibe the most. it's an annual event that starts at 8 a.m. Sherwin knows what it is at our fraternity house. Me and Serena were going to a concert that night. Well, I was on the winning team, let's say, of the imbibing. And it starts at 8 a.m. and ends by like noon. She calls me at one point, and we evidently have a long conversation about exactly what time she's going to get over to our place or to where I'm at, when we're going to go, all this stuff. I hang up the phone, go straight back into pass out mode. And later on, she comes in and I'm supposed to have all this stuff ready. And I do not. And she was not very happy about it. Needless to say, we end up, and I'm still three sheets at this point. We end up going to the concert, and as we're driving in, there's these narrow lanes of cones on either side, right? And I think there's four of us in the car, and there's nothing you can do. You're in this long line of cars with cones on both sides to tell what the lanes are. So I'm already in the doghouse. So why not just, keep digging? Start knocking over every cone. I reach out the passenger side window, thunk, thunk. Nothing you can do. Can't stop me. Nothing. I mean, there's nothing. You can't go nowhere. You can't do nothing. So that was probably the worst day for our relationship. And we're still together now and laugh about it. So I'll go with that one.
I like that. The important question: who was the, who were you going to see for the concert?
We saw Montgomery Gentry.
Cheers to Troy Gentry there.
For Brooks and Dunn.
Nice.
It might have been Country Fair. I can't remember. Remember? I have been to that concert. I don't think that was that one though. So it was some sort of Country Fair thing. Who knows at that point?
That's awesome. Right. Sherwin, do you got one?
We've only gone up from there.
That's awesome. Sherwin, do you got one?
I don't have one. I mean, it's been a long time. I pretty much spent the entirety of every relationship I've had in the dark. Probably the most egregious one was waking up in a girlfriend's bed and when she had to be at work at 5 a.m. And here we're talking, it's 9 or 10 o'clock at night. And one of my coworkers, this was in the ranch days, says, what are you doing here, Andrew? And I was like, where am I at? Like, I don't know. I was like, how'd I get here? He's like, probably the golf cart that's outside that you're in trouble for having. I'm like, oh, okay. that did not go over well at all. I think that might have been sealed the fate on that particular one.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. So outside of, podcasting on the anniversary, so I go to Lindsay. I literally asked her yesterday when I got back and I'm putting some stuff together for the show. I go, what's the biggest thing that I've done to put me in the doghouse? And I almost kind of felt like, man, if I got to ask this, that's probably putting me in the doghouse right there.
Right.
But she goes, honestly, she goes, not that it's been fun, but the mere fact that you bought the Lions season tickets a few years ago after then asking if you could when you had already purchased them, she got a little pissed off about that one. But 5 years later, we still have the Lions season tickets, and we're going to go watch the Lions get manhandled by Kansas City this weekend. So, all right. I think that's a good transition. Let's talk some football right quick. Then we'll get into some NASCAR stuff. Let's start college football. Your Yellow Jackets with a tough overtime loss this weekend. 1-2 on the season. But you did open up against Clemson. So
that was last weekend. This weekend, we did the best thing that we could possibly do, which was just not have a game.
Not play.
Nice. Bye week.
Yeah. Nice.
I didn't look at the dates when I pulled that up, so I didn't realize that. But who do you guys have coming up?
Temple in Philadelphia.
Yeah. So our current head coach, his most previous job was at Temple. Evidently, we had this game scheduled for a while back, and so he gets to go and see his old stomping grounds there. And
I didn't realize that. I thought it was part of the negotiation for the buyout, but I guess if it's been on the schedule for a while.
Well, I should say that's what I've heard. And yeah. So who knows?
Well, maybe we gave them a return or something. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, our previous coach at Temple for 2 years, and obviously the success that he had would have given our administration reason to believe that having him in Atlanta would be a good idea. And he's already been in Atlanta twice.
Yep.
So, and he brought in a whole bunch of Georgia Tech former players, a lot of them former NFL players to coach positions. So while it's not looking pretty right now, I'd say the future's probably fairly bright.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I wish I could say the same for my Wolverines, who coming off a bye week got flat out embarrassed by Wisconsin on Saturday. Just embarrassed for that product that they put on the field there. I'm telling you, me and Harbaugh got beef right now. He doesn't know about it, but we got beef right now. So,
Brandon, I'm not in any way at all trying to rub salt in the wound, because that's no fun.
Nope. By all means.
We all have a ton of passion, but when somebody asked me, like just random dude at the bar asked me, what do you think about Wisconsin, Michigan? I said, I don't think it's going to be very pretty. I think Wisconsin's going to, you know, they're going to put it on them.
Yeah. They manhandled us.
Is this like a recalibration moment for you for the rest of the season, or is this like a blip on the radar kind of thing?
Well, so here's the thing. Like for me, this was the year for Jim Harbaugh. Mm. This is year five, right? This is all your boys. This is, you know, you're supposed, and I've said this 100 times on this podcast, he's supposed to be the quarterback guy. We're still playing with a transfer quarterback. You know, we bring in the offensive coordinator from Alabama. I'll say that again. We bring in the offensive coordinator from Alabama.
And he's all right.
And that's what we put on the field on Saturday. That's what we got. So for me, you know, we have our three biggest rivals, Notre Dame, Michigan State, and Ohio State at home. Like, this was the year that stuff was supposed to happen and the tide was supposed to turn. And and that's what
no pun intended, right?
Yeah, right. Oh yeah, nice. Yeah. So yeah, I am so annoyed with the Wolverines right now, but I'll move on. Let's talk some pros. The Falcons with a surprising 1-2 start, tough 27-24 loss to the Colts this weekend. Sherwin, I know B. Wayne rubbed that in your face a little bit.
Well, and he should. I mean, I don't blame him. When you have a good enough relationship with somebody, it doesn't matter if they talk a little smack.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's wildly interesting that the Colts appear to be a pretty decent football team after their what should have been a Hall of Fame quarterback retires early due to injury.
Yeah.
But Kobe Brissett, he went 16-for-16 in the first half before he had a missed completion. So I don't know what to tell you. We lost what we consider to be one of our star safeties to a ruptured Achilles. So he's done for the second year in a row for the entire year.
Ouch.
Tore his ACL last year in the first game. So yeah, we're kind of whimpering in the corner a little bit.
I hear you. Well, hey, listen, the Lions off to a surprising 2-0-1 start. But we got a tough three games coming up. Home this Sunday at the Chiefs, then on the road to Green Bay, and then back at home against the Vikings. We're gonna see what kind of football team the Detroit Lions are, and I'm guessing I'm gonna be saying SOL at the end of these next three games. So we'll see what happens.
I mean, I know it doesn't happen very often. It probably only happens about once every 5 years. But isn't it interesting that there's not nearly the vitriol for a tie in the NFL than there used to be in college football? Like, if you tied in college football now, people lose their minds.
The funny thing is I will almost guarantee this tie will come down. The Lions haven't had a home playoff game in 50 some years. I will bet you that tie comes down to the deal breaker on us maybe not getting a home playoff. Like that would just be the Lions' luck. And the mere fact that, you know, that game against the Cardinals, like it was a matter of, hey, we don't want to win. Well, we don't want to win either. All right, well, we're going to force you to win, you know. Like, and then to tie against the Cardinals, rookie quarterback, like that was just, I mean, that was – an embarrassing game in and of itself, but I digress. So. but we'll see. I'm excited. There is hype right now. You know, I wasn't even going to plan on going to the game this Sunday against the Chiefs, but how do you not go when the Lions are undefeated? So you got to go and see what happens.
Totally. Yeah. Keep the good thing rolling.
Absolutely. All right. Let's transition. Let's talk what we're here to talk about. Let's talk a little NASCAR, boys. The trucks are off. And they're going to be off for a minute. They're still 18 days away from kicking off round two on Saturday, October 12th at Talladega. And here's what I want you guys to chime in on. Moffitt's got a pretty commanding lead. Let's assume he's on to the next round. So if we remove Moffitt from the equation, second place Austin Hill is only 12 points ahead of last place Tyler Ankrum, with Chastain, Friesen, and Crafton all in the middle. 12-point difference from second to sixth, opening up at Talladega. Man, this thing's not set by a long shot as far as who's going to get to Homestead. How do you guys maybe see this next round of the trucks with Talladega, Martinsville, and Phoenix shaking out?
Well, so it's pretty similar to how it was in the first round. Even with I think, two races in, there was like eight guys within 6 points. I mean, it was something ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
And who knows how it's all going to play out. Now, at the super speedway type of place, I see a lot of promise. And, hey, Homer here, Ross Chastain, he's found some speed at these kind of places, especially at Talladega, where it's the – what do we call it? The short track of the big tracks. So it's more the racers track, where Daytona feels like the gambler's track, I guess.
Sure.
But I see a lot of promise there. Outside of that, I mean, yeah, roll your dice. Friesen has been really strong in the postseason so far. So I don't see him, you know, necessarily letting off the gas there. Who knows who gets caught up in the big one or whatever. But I see strong things out of them. And Moffitt is just on a tear. There's no telling, you know, he's like you said, pretty much count him in for the next round.
Sherwin?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I have anything different to say there other than, you know, Talladega is as much as it is a race car track, like we would say that however good your race truck is probably how good you're going to be. Being able to get to the lead and stay in the lead is a lot harder to do in a truck than it is in a cup car in terms of that whole block and the whole field thing. So I think we're going to see a lot of movers and shakers. And, man, if you don't finish this race and you're, you know, in the playoffs, you're in trouble. You got to finish.
I think you can rebound as long as your car is – it's hard to go a lap down at a play. You know, we're not going to see – you know, only 12 cars on the lead lap, so to speak, or trucks on the lead lap. So as long as your car or truck finishes, then I still think you got a fighting shot once you get to Martinsville and ISM there.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I think it's probably more important to finish at Talladega than it is to have a great race at Martinsville.
Yes. Oh, I agree. 100%. Now, I want to get your take on this. You know, you guys and I share similar opinions on, you know, the niche or the specialty race from a plate taper space or whatever you want to call it. You know, I am not a fan of Talladega being in the playoffs for any series. I'm not a fan of Daytona now going to close out the regular season, because to me it's why, especially in the playoffs, you know, I guess I'm not as upset over it being the last cup race next year, but to have a season potentially unfold because of somebody else's fault, you know, to me, I don't understand why put that gimmick in the playoffs.
Well, that's a very interesting point, and a lot of people really don't like the word gimmick. But
ask us how we know.
That is what it is. Yeah. And my only thing I would say is, and we've got this now at the cup level, if we're going to have a plate race, what we used to call a plate race, I don't care what they call it now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That is a potential eliminating factor for a playoff team. Then there has to also be a road course. Like if we're gonna measure all the disciplines of how stock cars and stock trucks race right now, they all have to be represented in the playoff format.
I like that. And, you know, I would take that one step further, and I would add, and I'd like to see maybe a little shift then let's have the plate race, let's have the road course, and let's have a short track in one stage or in one round. Let's not mix the rounds for those. If we're going to throw those in there, let's make them be all in one round.
Ooh, I don't hate that at all.
I think that'd be fun. I could get behind that all day.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, if you had the Roval, for instance, and Martinsville and Talladega, and I don't care which order you put them in, if you had them all in the same elimination round,
that would be fun.
That feels like you've covered, you know, what NASCAR is.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. Let's write a letter to somebody.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Odd Steve and whoever else are listening.
All right, let's talk a little Xfinity racing from this past weekend at Richmond. The Christopher Bell Show, and it's been the Christopher Bell Show. He won stages one and two last week, won stages one and two this week, finished second last week, picked up the win this week, putting on a clinic, leading 238 of 250 laps, really opening the gap to start the playoffs over Cole Custer, Tyler Riddick. I get, and we'll get into this when we get to the cup race here, but I get from a fan perspective where this may not have been the barn burner you were looking for. You know, if people said there wasn't a lot of passing this weekend, I can buy into that from the Xfinity perspective only, and I'll only buy into that because when I look at who finished in the top 10, they all, for the most part, started in the top 10. So I'll buy into that a little bit from the Xfinity race.
Okay. Well, we can get into that a little bit. How many cars in the Xfinity series are actually capable of winning a race?
Well, see, that's why I said I could maybe buy into it.
Well, that's the caveat I would add is, like, I don't know that they have 10 cars in that series that could legitimately go out and lead and win a race.
Well, see, and I am with you there 100%. And I'll follow that up with, that's where I was complaining for the last 6-7 weeks of the Xfinity Series regular schedule, because we didn't have a bubble race. And that's because of the massive drop-off after who's ever in 8th, 9th, and 10th on down. There was no – I mean, sure, mathematically, was Gray Galding in 13th eliminated? No, but was he going to make up 150, 60, 70 points? That wasn't going to happen over the 7-race span unless one of those guys, Gray Galding, Jeremy Clements, went out there and won a road course when they had 3 out of 4 road courses in a month time period. Outside of that, there was no bubble. And that, sure, that a perfect point that you make there is how many can go out there and do it. And that's where I say the Xfinity Series field needs to be shrunk a little bit, like towards the Truck Series, to make it a little bit more exciting and create a little bit more hype towards the end of the Xfinity regular season, and to create a little bit more importance in the Xfinity playoffs for the first round.
Let me drop you a stat right quick that I just added up in my head. the bottom four drivers right now in the playoffs of the Xfinity Series, Brandon Jones, Ryan Sieg, Justin Haley, and John Hunter Nemechek, combined have 13 top fives this season. The top two, Christopher Bell and Cole Custer, have a combined 13 wins.
Right.
You know? Right, yeah. Yep.
Fucking a large disparity.
Yeah, absolutely. Difference. There are some outliers
there. Yeah, well, without a doubt. I mean, I don't know. I think one of the things that we are seeing, though, is that, you know, without letting the Cup guys get – you know, get in there 5, 7, 8 races a year, as you've seen these guys get a chance to be themselves, good, better, and different. I don't know that that's going to make them good Cup racers, but what it has done is allow the Xfinity to have a big three, which we've been talking about in Cup for 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the guys that are really just sort of pulled away from the field. And I don't know that you would have that if Kyle and Brad and Joey and whoever else, we're racing, you know, 6 or 7 races a year. So did NASCAR get what they wanted out of that? I think they probably did, but I think they also found out that, you know, like Rusty just said, the back half of their playoff field, they don't stand a chance.
No. I'm with you. That's why I think, you know, we could cut the playoff field a little bit from the Xfinity guys. You know, and we're going to see it even more reduced. You know, this is there's 18 wins amongst the big three, which to have 18 wins with the Xfinity Series regulars is unheard of over the last decades, I think would be a fair statement to make. And it could get even bigger next year as they reduce the restrictions even more as to who can race in the Xfinity Series from a Cup perspective on, you know, how many years you've been racing and all that. So, but to Sherwin's point, like you said, you know, if these guys aren't there out there, you know, how much help is it to Bell, Custer, and Riddick to race against, you know, Jeremy Clements, who I love, who's racked up a ton of top 15s, which is awesome for that team. But, you know, that's not going to help him if he's not able to race against Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, see what lines those guys run, see how they run on the track, and to prepare them for that next step.
It's like sports car, you know, where they're running two different series almost, and it's even more pronounced in the Xfinity Series right now, it feels like, where here's the guys that are running the fast cars, and here's the guys that are running for the top 15s, like you're talking about. And those are both great races, by the way.
Sure.
But, you know, there's definitely two classes almost, if you will.
Yeah, you've got the you've got your representation from Ford, Penske, and Stewart Haas, Penske with Ford. You got Toyota. You know, RCR's Chevy representation. They're really the only Chevy that has representation out there. You know, and that's not prevalent. You know, so once you've got those drop offs from Penske, Stewart Haas, and Joe Gibbs, I like that. It's like you got two different series out there running. That's a great way to put it. What did you guys think of the John Hunter Nemechek Joe Graff Jr. incident at the end of the race, where John Hunter, during the cool down lap, goes and gets a little retribution there?
Well, I think I don't know where Rusty's at on this. I think I fall in the camp of once the flag's flown, retribution is over with the vehicle.
Yeah, I am. That was literally the point I was going to make.
Retribution should be human to human.
Yep, with your helmet off.
I might have said something else a few years ago, Sherman, but we've talked to so many drivers at this point. And legacy drivers, you know, old school guys, new school guys, everybody, and all the drivers are in agreement that's an integrity blunder to go out there and use your car after the race is over because you've undone your belt, you've undone your window net and all that. You might be waving at a fan or something crazy, and suddenly, blam, and now your arm's broken because you get jolted forward or something, or you might have removed your Hans device. All this stuff. That, you know, call me a wuss for saying it's all the safety stuff, but hey, get out there and punch each other in the face. That's not wuss.
Yeah, no, and not at all. And it's not fair to the teams that had to rebuild those cars after you go and crash them up after it's over. You want to crash a dude up, catch him, and crash him.
Yeah. As soon as that checkered flag drops, the car becomes a weapon at that point, not. And like, you know, like everything the Rusty said there with from a safety aspect, it really crosses a fine line there, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I think. Go ahead. We probably got to keep going. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I know it's I know I got to get you guys out of here by hopefully 8:30-ish will be enough time for you guys. all right. One more thing. One more on the Xfinity race or the Xfinity series. You know, let's hold things constant. Let's assume, because I want to see it, and I'm sure you guys want to see it. Let's assume Bell, Custer, and Reddick make it to Homestead. That really means we realistically have maybe four or five guys in Cindric, Allgaier. Maybe in that he really has been quiet since his win at Daytona. Briscoe, maybe. Who is potentially fighting for that fourth and final spot?
I think it's Briscoe at this point, personally. I mean, I think they're starting to come on a little bit. And they got, you know, a teammate who's in the big three to lean on. Whereas Annette, for instance, like, that's funny you mentioned that Chevy really only has the one car from RCR that's in contention. Where the hell is Junior Motorsports?
No kid, right? Oh, man, I've been talking about Allgaier for weeks. I'm sure people are sick of me talking about Allgaier's need to get something done, but I'm with you.
I'd say Austin Cindric, just he's had, I mean, you know, that's me being lame and taking the current fourth place driver, but he's got some wins this season. He's put it in victory lane. He's got he's only half a step down from top fives. He's out there running pretty good. And not really an also ran or you know, one of those bottom guys that, you know, barely add up to the top fives, the number of wins on the first two guys. So, I mean, he's got, I think Chase Briscoe, that's a good point too. Annette, I mean, is kind of, it feels like he's barely stringing along, but he's, I guess, in that mid pack.
Right in the middle. Yeah.
You know, to death, but top tens aren't going to get you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So, like, for me personally, I think Justin Haley's had a hell of a rookie season, made the playoffs, and he's had, like, 15 or 16 top 10s, which, as a rookie, that's phenomenal. I think that would be awesome if he were able to somehow, you know, even make it to the next round. But, yeah, I got to go with Briscoe. I think he is going to turn it up with Cole Custer there leading the pack. I'm sure they're going to share some information through the next round at least, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's two SHR cars representing in the at Homestead. I think that'd be cool. All right, let's move it along. The Cup race, the big finale, Saturday night. So here's where I'm at with this one as far as, and this is where I don't buy into you can't pass. So like the Xfinity Series race, we only had three different leaders. Unlike the Xfinity race, where the guy who led the most finished first, Kyle Busch finished second. He was almost there. But for those that say passing wasn't there, six of the top 13 started outside the top 10. Eric Jones started 16th and finished fourth, kind of. Newman started 19th, finished sixth. Larson 13th, finished seventh. Suarez started 14th, finished 10th. Logano started 28th, finished 12th. Bubba Wallace started 37th, finished 13th. There was movement on that track. Was it easy? No, but we are in the playoffs, so I don't expect it to be easy to pass at a short track. With a playoff race. So from that regard, I actually thought it was a pretty decent race.
Well, and a short track that fast too. That's one of the things that I think gets overlooked at Richmond is how fast they run there. And if we run that race at night, there really only is maybe 2.5 grooves, where if we ran it in the day, there might be closer to 4. Cause it's not a narrow racetrack, but yeah, I don't know that I don't buy. I'm not buying the they can't pass sandwich. Like, I'm just not. I'm not going. I'm not going to eat that sandwich.
I'm with you.
I like that there's storylines outside the playoff drivers. You talked about Bubba Wallace making however many passes that was, 24 positions by the end of the race. That's pretty darn cool. And for a team that's, I think, 25th something like that in standings, for them to actually start putting cars in his cars around him, I guess, that can do something. Hey, we're excited to see that stuff too.
Absolutely. Well, you
ask,
mentioned
if Martin Truex couldn't pass.
Right. Yeah. you mentioned the speed there. I'm pretty sure I wasn't supposed to be standing where I stood in turn one for some of those videos. Damn, I was close to that racetrack. I could feel every horsepower as those boys rumbled past me there. But
you got to remember the rule of thumb is you haven't used your pass well enough if you haven't been told to leave somewhere.
Well, and that's the thing. They came up and looked at it, and I'm like, I think I'm allowed to be here. And they like, all right.
So, okay, let me stay there. Also a suggestion.
Right?
Yeah, you can talk your way into it.
Jedi, well, listen, if you're in dress pants in the garage, most people assume you're supposed to be there. So that's
a good point.
It's a good rule of thumb there. All right. So for me, I was I guess I was kind of surprised, but then once I thought about it, I wasn't. I was surprised more guys didn't fail inspection with the impound there. But people kind of knew the value of stuff, so I think they had stuff on their best behavior.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Absolutely. And we now see what happens if you're not on the up and up.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and so I guess what surprised, I guess I want to know if you guys are surprised. So, new rule this year in terms of, if you fail inspection at the track, where you finished is disqualified. And it took until the playoffs, two races in. So we're at 28 races for our first cup car disqualification, and it wasn't even for the win. But we've seen it a couple times in the Xfinity Series and the Truck Series. So are you surprised by that, or are you not surprised by that?
I'm a little bit surprised, and here's why. Because we've seen it in the other series. Because we saw Ross Chastain get his win taken away. Because we saw, remind me, in Xfinity not too long ago, we saw somebody get disqualified. So the fact that a playoff driver and crew and car gets dinged for this, I'm a little bit surprised. I'm not surprised it happened, just in the cosmic sense, but I'm surprised that a playoff driver and a playoff car and a playoff crew would push the boundaries enough to be that far out of bounds. And NASCAR continues to, they hold some stuff close, but they also give you little leaks of things. They're like, look, at first they're kind of like, well, we have these rules. And they're, later on, they're kind of like, look, we give them some room on these rules. And later on, they're like, look, we give them a lot of room on these rules. They just freaking broke it so bad. it's a little bit surprising to me, I guess.
It doesn't seem like they're operating in the borderline area of the rule book when they choose to disqualify somebody. It's usually, you missed it by a bunch, and so we're going to take this away from you.
Yeah.
I'll never forget Clint Bowyer pulling out his quarter during the press conference. I was off by this much. Remember that?
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
All right, so let's talk about
playoffs.
Let's talk about Ryan Newman for a minute. Showed some speed, showing some consistency, started this race outside looking in. He's now comfortably in at ninth, moving to the next round. That's some speed and some consistency from Roush that we're not used to seeing. I know everyone has some thoughts and opinions on Ryan Newman, but I'm not going to lie. When he, on that restart, moved up to third, I got excited.
Well, I mean, I think the thing I would say about that is, and you know the way we have spoken about Ryan Newman in the past, so we won't relive that. But, you know, the last person in that car full time was Trevor Bayne, who's not even in a race car anymore. So it's not surprising to me that somebody with the longevity and the capability and the intelligence of Ryan Newman has gotten in that car and helping them go faster.
Sure. And I'm not surprised by this at all. Ryan Newman is Mr. Consistency. Every year, everybody has him out in the first round, and every year he makes it to, you know, second, third, or even final race every year. On our podcast, we chose 2 weeks ago or whatever, and I chose Ryan Newman. He is into the next round. And I think you and our guest, was it Adam that time? Whoever it was, said Ryan Newman out. And so I do not bet on Ryan Newman out. He's consistent.
He was one spot away from winning a championship without a win, like in 2014. He got to Homestead without a win and finished second to Kevin Harvick. Like, are you kidding me?
I was kind of rooting for him a little bit just because I thought, the trolling aspect of it. How funny would that be that all this emphasis on winning and the guy that doesn't win.
Right. Oh, I get that. I get that 100%. Martin Truex Jr. gets spun by Ricky Stenhouse, who I know we all have some thoughts and opinions there. Able to rebound, come out, pick up his sixth win of the season, back-to-back wins to start off the playoffs. Up until Las Vegas, you know, him and Kyle were tied at four. He had a 10-race losing streak there for a minute, snapped it, and, you know, people were talking about Kevin Harvick getting heated up at the right time, but it's Martin Truex Jr. who's heating up at the right time.
Well, if you go back and look at, like, Race and Reference, and I might get the years a little bit wrong, but I'm just going to say his four-year run with Furniture Row and now Joe Gibbs, I think he's won 20 races. Does anybody besides
right. Kyle
have a better four-year run than that?
Doubtful.
No, I don't think so.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's I was in Austin, Texas, watching the race after we got home, after we got back to the hotel from, all the night's festivities and all that stuff. I watched the end of the race, and I tell you what, I about flipped the couch. Just excitement about how he was able to get through the field, how he did all that, and how exciting the race was and how cool it was. I mean, back-to-back in the playoffs, you're doing something right.
Absolutely. Let's not forget – last year at the Roval was leading that damn thing with the last lap. So I would not be shocked he comes out and sweeps the first round.
Well, he's very good at road courses.
It'd go down in record books and everything. It'd be, the race heard around the world at that point.
Jimmy doesn't lose his mind trying to. And here we are 28 races later, and he still doesn't have a win from that spot.
No, I'm with you. All right.
36 more.
So I don't think the final three is a lock yet for Homestead. I think we all maybe have a safe feeling that it could be Truex, Harvick, and Kyle Busch. That said, let's talk about for a minute here. Russ, you guys mentioned that you guys were talking a couple weeks ago that Newman would probably be out from advancing to the next round. And if we look at the bottom four, Kurt Busch, Clint Bowyer, Eric Jones, Alex Bowman – I will say I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised with Clint Bowyer. Dude just has not caught a break at all this year. So while I expected him maybe to make it to the second round, I wasn't expecting much more from that. So the fact that he's down there now, Kurt Busch is the one that's surprising me the most at the moment. He's got a road course win. Do you think Kurt Busch could come out and play spoiler this weekend?
Well, I'd be a fool to say no.
Right? He's a great wheelman. It feels like those Chevy issues from early in the season seem to be creeping back around. And Kurt Busch was the only one who seemed to be, coming out or poking out of that group of all the Chevy woes. But here we are in the playoffs, and, you know, Chevy's not really making much of a splash so far. So, I'm not too surprised to see Chevy's down. But maybe I'm a little bit surprised in terms of, is Chevy having the little issues again, or is everybody else doing something different? I don't know. But, you know, Chase is the first Chevy, and he's seventh.
Seventh, yep.
With Larson right behind him. It's a tough deal for Chevy right now.
I am with you. All right. I am good to move on unless you guys have anything else you want to add from the racing this weekend.
I am happy to move on, brother.
All right. Sherwin, you good?
Yeah, buddy.
All right. I'm going to hit some social media real quick. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Don't forget about the giveaway at 5,000 followers. Got that going. Still got a ways to go. I'll get some stuff in there to help inch that along a little bit here. Some new follower shout outs: Carter Siegel @CarterSiegel from Virginia. Kirk Ross @IndyTurn3Gain, a fan of Allgaier. And David Kelso @KMDEI3, #RickyBobby. And some shout-outs to some people that I saw this weekend. Dustin Albino @DustinAlbino from the Front Stretch. Jerry Jordan @JerryJordan _KTT from Kicking the Tires. Dustin Long @DustinLong from NBC. And Peter Strada @PeterStrada from T101 Sports. Great to see you guys this weekend. Got to talk to those guys a little bit. Don't forget stickers and koozies on the website. Go fill out the contact page. I will send one out to you. And all right, that'll do it. We'll condense social media this weekend. Real quick, gentlemen, some silly season. The worst kept secret in the garage. Christopher Bell to debut next year in the 95. No one's surprised. But when we look at like the news last week with Daniel Hemric out after his rookie year, I don't expect that to happen with Christopher Bell, but do you think it's too soon? Is it the right time? Is that the right car? What do you guys think?
Right time, yes. Right car, unsure. We'll see. That car has been getting speed, and Bob is willing to throw some money at some stuff, and he's a real cool guy, so it seems. So I'd like to see that, see what happens there. It's tough to put a rookie in that car like that, especially with the momentum that they had with DiBenedetto. But go for it, I guess. I would say it's a little different from sort of the farms that we've seen. I mean, we know he's got the close affiliations, but you know, when you come into a Joe Gibbs or a Roush or a Hendrick or something like that into the system. Like a lot of these guys have. So a little bit different entry point, I guess. Maybe not so different than Bubba Wallace, but that's where I'm at with it. I didn't answer your question at all, except right time, yes.
Sure, what do you got?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the right time. We won't know until next year how much help Toyota and Joe Gibbs are going to give Levine Family Racing. Are they going to be able to do what Furniture Row was able to do? But I'll tell you one thing they'll get right off the bat is they'll get to put 50 more pounds of left rail weight in the car, because Christopher Bell is a lot smaller than Matt DiBenedetto.
True story. That's funny. All right. I will be right back with the PETM podcast. It is time to cue up this week's weather segment with Mr. Brian Newdorf.
Hello once again, Lap Traffic Nation. Meteorologist Brian Newdorf, known to many of you as the NASCAR weatherman or @NASCAR_WXMAN on Twitter, again, as well as on Facebook. So now we make our way to the Roval of Charlotte Motor Speedway. And the question is, what can we expect? Well, overall, looks like a dry forecast. It's going to be hot. It is Carolinas, and a big area of high pressure has been dominating the southeast, keeping things hot, very summer-like here in September. And those temperatures will not disappoint, getting near 90 degrees both afternoon. The only slight concern I have in this early forecast period is the possibility of a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm both Saturday and Sunday. But at this point, generally speaking, I'd say the odds of racing are around 80% both Saturday and Sunday for the Xfinity and Monster Cup races. So we'll keep an eye on the forecast, but overall, we should be dry. But if anything changes, you can get the updates on social media through Twitter and Facebook. Have yourself a great week, and thanks again for having me on here on Lap Traffic Nation.
All right, I am back with the PETM podcast, and it is time to move along to this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know the drill by now. We're deep into the season. That's what she said. Tweet, send your picks, call the Wave Around Hotline with your Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. Wave Around Hotline, 248-965-9538. Switching things up this week. I'm going to drop in the Wave Around Hotline calls first, and then we'll get Rusty and Sherwin's call or picks for the Lucky Dog and Lap Down. So only one call this week. You guys know who it is. It's the voice of the Wave Around Hotline, Mr. Andrew Kantzian.
What's up, Brandon? Seems like it's been a hot minute since I last called in. I think I skipped last week. I don't know. I've been like a damn chicken running around with no head. I hope you had a great time at the race, man. It's always fun to see a new track. Richmond is high on my list as well, track to see, and I'm sure it's going to be high on a lot of people's list. On to the race. Not the most exciting race, I would say, but definitely going to lead to something pretty wild this week at the Roval. This Roval race coming up is even halfway as good as last year's. It'll be a damn good race, and no matter what, I think we're going to be in for a show. I have a bone to pick with two guys. I'm going to start with the first one who, you know, could kind of go either way. Ricky Stenhouse, wrecking the leader. Not that we really expect anything from that banana, but come on. You're on fresher tires and mock the bread. That's all right. That happens. But Stenhouse hasn't necessarily earned the benefit of the doubt, so that's why I'm kind of picking on Ricky Stenhouse, left out Austin Dillon, jackass dude. Why are you racing playoff guys like that? You're a silver spoon fed kid. You suck in the Cup Series. Your cars suck. Seriously, dude, like wrecking a playoff guy. He doesn't really know what it's like to be in that situation since he's lucked into both wins when he made the playoffs and he's been out the first round anyway because he sucks. He'll never win a championship and honestly never go out and lead laps and win a race. It's really a shame that Daniel Hemric's losing his ride to go to Tyler Reddick because it should be the silver spoon fed kid in the number three. He's the lap down as well. Bowman is the lucky dog for his quote that Jordan Bianchi tweeted that I'm going to shove that silver spoon he's been fed up his ass because he deserves it. So I hope you have a good one, man, and talk to you soon.
Oh, Lap Traffic Nation. Gotta love it, Mr. Andrew Kantzian, and the voice of the Wave Around Hotline, who, yes, has been absent. Glad to have you back. Gets a little heated up. I love the enthusiasm there. You definitely share a lot of opinions of a lot of people on social media. And I'm not going to agree or disagree, but I 100% feel where you're coming from, as do many others. All right, Mr. Andrew Kantzian there. I love it. All right, let's get to our picks. I will start with, let's start with Rusty. Who is your lucky dog of the race weekend?
Lucky dog. You know, I've sat here saying he's not lucky. He just always is consistent. But for Ryan Newman to pick off a top five, which he hadn't exactly had all that many this season, a total of two, including this one. You know, whether he's hitting it at the right time or whether he's got lucky, I will call him the lucky dog for this race.
Excellent. Sherwin.
Well, I got to go with Martin Truex. I'm sure I'm being repetitive, but the spin and win.
Spin and win, baby.
I mean, that's hard not to say.
I'm with you. He is my lucky dog as well. Spin and win. That's not easy to do, let alone at a short track, to be able to get down to the pits and all that, not lose time or a lap or anything like that. So absolutely there. All right, lap down picks. Let's start with Sherwin.
You know what? I will go with the entire Joe Gibbs Racing number 20 team. What were you thinking?
Rusty.
I was going to specifically call out Chris Gayle, crew chief for the number 20 car. It starts and ends with him. You know,
yeah.
All stuff is on him at the end of the day, and there shouldn't be anything that gets under his nose that he ain't aware of. So you can't blame ignorance here either. It's Chris Gayle right now for me.
I feel you 100%. And I got two lap downs. Anybody under the cut line and the Michigan Wolverines. For sure. All right, let's get to some tweeted responses. Boys, feel free to chime in with some comments, commentary, whatever you got. Rowdy at the Rowdy Dragons, Lucky Dog, Martin Truex Jr., what a dominant repeat on a short track, and the one-mile debate continues. The lap down is Kurt Busch in the Monster Energy car seems to have lost his mojo. What do you think, Kurt losing it, or is just some bad luck there with that tire going down there at opening weekend there?
I'd say that second thing. I mean, losing a tire means, I don't know, maybe you could blame the team that they set the brakes up or the camber up a little bit too aggressively. But I don't know that you can blame the driver for blowing a tire and hitting the wall at 160 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think, you said mojo. I think the word mojo has a little bit of luck sprinkled into it. So he could have lost that sort of sprinkling of luck in the mojo. But if you're talking about driver, I think he still got it. But I can see where maybe losing a little bit, like I said, the sprinkles on top.
I feel you. And who doesn't love a good sprinkle on top? Wow.
That's...
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll bring it back to PG land and say Arlington at the ice cream place.
Yes, yes.
Brandon was like, I want you to give me all of the sprinkles that you have. Right?
Give me a side cup that I can re-dip it in once that top layer gets cleared off.
Yeah. First. So he loves it, sprinkles.
That's a true story. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog. Husker FB Nation, four turnovers and still managed to win on the road. Lap down Eric Jones failing post-race and a second vote for U of M football. Thanks for digging that one in there. Appreciate you. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans, Lucky Dog, Joe Gibbs Racing, dominance at Richmond continues in Cup and Xfinity. Lap down Jones. Boy, that's a tough DQ. Must-win situation at the Roval. He's got a better chance at winning the lottery than the Roval. That's saying something right there.
I think it's true. And I think this is another reason why, I mean, this is such a important, or whatever you want to call it, lap down pick here, because he took himself out of any possibility of next round or championship or whatever they're thinking for the rest of the season. That's it. You know, we're done now.
Sherwin.
He could have bubbled. He could have been a contender.
He could have been a contender. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick. Mick, a longtime fan of both our shows. Mick's awesome. Such a good dude. Mick's Lucky Dog, TRD. They have some go-fast secret recipe. A lap down, Eric Jones. They got a little bit too much of that go-fast recipe. And last but not least, John at D-Nators, a Lucky Dog, 42 of Larson minus Indy. I see a spark of consistency. Maybe he can go deep in the playoffs. That's what she said. That just seems to be the coin phrase of the night there. And lap down is John giving it to himself, calling the wave around hotline last week and forgetting to give his name and Twitter handle, hashtag rookie mistake. No worries there, John. Appreciate the support. Absolutely. All right, boys. It is time to move on to the last segment of the night, the Lapped Traffic Fantasy League playoffs. Playoffs are in full swing in the Lapped Traffic Fantasy League. 8 races to go. Boys, I'm just going to recap this real quick, and then we will get to some picks here. 8 of the 16 playoff players took Bell, 4 took Martin Truex Jr., and 3 took both Truex and Bell. That's all going to get fixed next year. That is all going to get fixed. Can't wait to throw some shakeups to the Lap Traffic Fantasy next year, as I've been talking about. Week high was 119 by the three that took Martin Truex and Christopher Bell, Chad Robb, David Mullins, and Ted Anderson. Second weekly high was 114 by David James and Jess Rose with their picks of Bush and Bell. All right, to the standings. And, guys, you're going to get a good kick out of this one here. And you'll know when, too. In first, new leader, 2 weeks of lap traffic playoffs, two different leaders with a contested battle up front, which is awesome. Chad Robb is in first. Brad Carnes, Ted Anderson, John Entwistle, David James wraps out the top five. Jess Rose in sixth. David Mullins in seventh. Greg Whited in eighth. Mr. Aaron Studwell is in ninth. Mick Rose wraps out the top 10. Robert Keplinger is in 11th. Matt Crowd is in 12th. Michael Elliott, 13th. Paul Hollenbeck, 14th. Crystal Smoke, 15th. And way down there in last place is the MOATF podcast.
Womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. It's funny you say that because I have the sound clip playing right now for that same thing, too. Yes, the MOATF podcast is in last, and this is a cutoff. We're going to drop four after this week and see what happens. So, all right, those are the standings. Boys, are you ready to make some picks?
Do it.
All right. Sure. We are headed for some Roval racing this weekend. Not a lot of stats to talk about from the Roval, as this is only the second race. So we'll talk a little road course trends. Who could forget the last lap pass last year? Jimmy Johnson, Martin Truex Jr. Jimmy spins, backs up into Truex, letting Ryan Blaney in third squeak by for the win. Could Martin Truex get some redemption and sweep round one of the playoffs? Clint Boyer finished third last year, and he took a win at Sonoma a few years back. He's down and deep in the standings. And another guy that we talked about, Kurt Busch, finished fifth last year. So two guys in must-win situations did very well last year. Could either of those two maybe make some noise? Who picks up the win in the last spot into the next round of the playoffs? We will find out Sunday. But first, it is time for our picks. Gentlemen, trucks are off over to the Xfinity Series. We will start with Sherwin. Who do you got?
Is Xfinity racing on the Roval?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll take Cole Custer.
Rusty.
I mean, here's the thing. If you don't pick one of them, you're an idiot.
Right.
Like a genius by picking one of the, somebody else who, and then they win. But I'm just not seeing it, man. I'll go with Tyler Reddick so you can have the other one.
Well, actually, no, I'm going because I'm so bad I don't even make my own playoffs. So okay. I'm going outside the box, and I did it with Grant Enfinger. I was going to ride him to a win, and that didn't happen. So I am riding Justin Allgaier, not literally, but just in the playoffs. So I'm going with Justin Allgaier.
First win this season.
It will be his first win, and he's pretty good at road courses. So. We'll see if he can make some noise.
We all overlook Cindric, who might be the best road course racer in the Xfinity Series right now.
True story. Yep. Over to the Cup race. Rusty, who do you got?
I tell you what, I'm not seeing any surprises. I'm not seeing any, respect to Kurt Busch, but I'm just not seeing a got-to-win guy come up there and do this. We're going to have consistent guys running. I'll go ahead and pick Joey Logano for this one. Strong at racetracks that require good driving, and what better than a Roval to have good driving? I think he's got the Roval here.
I love it. Sherwin, who do you got?
Well, I hope everybody doesn't follow, Brad Keselowski with the rest of the Lemmings over the cliff into turn one late in the race this year. But I'm going to go with the guy that whooped everybody's ass at Watkins Glen, Chase Elliott.
My man.
Nine, I like that. And you know what? I think it would be cool. Let's let Martin Truex Jr. pick up the round one sweep. I think that'd be fun. Something to talk about. That'd be some history there. Absolutely love it. All right. Gentlemen, before I get you out of here, season is winding down. What do you guys have coming up on the show to wrap out the season? Where can everybody find you? What do you guys got going on over the next couple weeks?
Sure, I'll have to fill us in on what's coming up.
So we've got Eric Quinn tonight. We're going to talk about some NASCAR sports medicine. Nobody else is scheduled. I have a lot of yeses I need to organize.
I love it.
Kelly Crandall's definitely going to be one of them. Nate Ryan, Jeff Gluck, those guys will probably bring them back when their schedules match ours.
And then off season, who knows? You know, it's always a toss up. We're sitting here like spinning pennies on the desk, just trying to entertain.
I hear you. Yeah, no, it's definitely looking to go in a little bit longer than I normally do. You know, I'll have the annual Lap Traffic Award show, but I definitely got an extra show at the end of the off season with. I've been keeping track of the Lucky Dog lap down pick, so that's going to be like a top 10 for each of those. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely we'll have to have you guys back on to do maybe a season wrap-up. Maybe it'll be fun. Maybe we can sync up on a weekend or something to line time up with MOATF. Maybe we can do a three-way podcast season wrap-up.
Three-way?
Three-way.
I have literally opened the door on a lot of my word choices, and that's for sure. Gentlemen, this was a long overdue. Thank you so much for your support. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. Pulling a doubleheader. Where can everybody find you guys on social media?
It's PTMPodcast.com, at PTMPodcast on the Twitter. And for me, Tailgate Mayor, Rusty Wallace at Tailgate Mayor.
Yeah. And don't forget, YouTube channel, PETM Podcast. If you go subscribe and you click on the bell, you'll get a live notification. Let you know when we're going live. And, I'm at Pregame Engineer and at Andrew L. Sherwin on Instagram.
Yes. If you guys have not checked out PETM Live on YouTube, very interactive. The chat gets, very fun, if you will. as well as being able to watch live is definitely a lot of fun for sure. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 151 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. A big thanks to Brian Newdorf. Huge thanks to Rusty and Sherwin from the PETM Podcast. Have a great show tonight, boys. And next week, I think Michael Self, who is battling last week's guest, Christian Eckes, for the ARCA Championship, will be on. I think I just need to get a double check on that. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!